Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Sneedcast. I'm your host Alexa, and today I'm here with Ken, our VP of Sales and Marketing. We're going to be talking about the importance of date codes, or more importantly, where they got their start. So, kicking it off to Ken.
Yeah, so that's what you said. I like how you said that. The importance of date codes. How important are they really? We've all bought things, right? Yeah. At the store and everything. So, like, now you guys have been in the industry for almost 2 years. I've been in the industry for, we won't get into how long, but.
Not that long,
years. Yeah, well, you probably, like, growing up and everything, let's talk about going grocery shopping. I don't know, with your parents or even, like, with your spouses or whatever. Like, you know, how, like, do you, like, I don't know. When I buy milk, I buy the carton of milk with the longest, like, I look to the back for, like, oh, that one's got $5. Yeah. I'm buying the freshest milk I can, right?
Yeah. I can't, like, I know for me personally, like, my dad's a 70-year-old single guy, so whenever I go to his house and just look in his fridge for any sort of, like, something that has a date code on it, guarantee you it's out at least a year, and he's very much like, it's fine, smell it. And that is honestly what a lot of, like, through my research, I was shocked at how, like, it was like, yeah, date codes really matter, and then, like, these were from, like, reputable sources like CNN, and they were saying, like, the next best thing is just to smell it. And it's like, oh, okay, I guess that's how this works.
I love it. That was my biggest... I used to get in this argument with my ex-wife. And this wasn't the reason we got divorced, but about date codes, because she could be so particular about date codes. I'm like, it doesn't matter. They don't matter. Just, you know, and I was like, pass the smell test. Mm-hmm. My daughter will still come. If the milk is one day past its best by date, she'll come over. She's like, the milk's expired. I'm like, smell it. It's fine. So you can smell if it's gone bad. On that note, though, I actually have a funny story. This is a tangent alert here, guys. Have you guys ever tried sour milk on accident?
I've accidentally had it in cereal.
It's pretty awful.
It is.
It's a life experience. Like, it's like a seminal experience for everybody. Like, I know, like, I just didn't smell it. I didn't see the chunk, and then I, like, took a bite, and I was like,
it's like a rite of passage to becoming an adult. Like, it happens at some point.
So, I remember when I was a kid growing up, I was in high school, and my little brothers were sitting at the breakfast table eating breakfast. I was getting my breakfast. I poured myself a glass of milk. I took a sip, and it was bad. And immediately, you spit it out. I was like... It was like, the milk's gone bad. And my mom said, what are you talking about? Your brothers are drinking, it's fine. And they're sitting there, one with a bowl of cereal. The other one's got a glass of milk that's half drank. And they look over and I'm like, what? Isn't the milk taste sour to y'all? And my brother just says, yeah, but we didn't want mommy to get mad at us. So we didn't say anything. So anyway.
Was your mom that mean?
I mean, you guys have met her. You know, she's gotten pretty soft in her old age.
She seems pretty nice. Yeah. I guess, like, to me, like, I guess, like, I think folks listening will be like, you guys sell printers that print date codes, why are you trashing date codes? And it's like, well, there is a history as to why we have them, and like Ken was talking to me about how back in the 60s they had major issues with the expiration and all that stuff. So
yeah, well, I know, like, we were talking about it with milk, and so, like, I know this little story that you had looked up, and we've talked about doing a fun video about it, about Al Capone. Milk related, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so it's such an urban legend because it's like there's one book that his, like, granddaughter wrote where she is very persistent that Al Capone and his brother invented date codes back in, like, the 30s, and it is that Al Capone, the mob boss, and, like, the origins are
St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Yeah, it's the day after Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Yeah, and basically the legend goes, and none of this is really confirmed, so huge grain of salt, but, like, basically, Al Capone had, like, a brother who died after drinking expired milk. And so it, to him, became this massive, massive, like, thing that he wanted to save folks by putting, you know, like, expiration dates on a milk. The true story is that Al Capone was desperate to get out of, like, illegitimate business, i.e. drugs and all that stuff. And he was basically saying, I was like, well, everybody buys milk, especially back then, back in the 30s. Like, milk was such a huge staple of life. So they bought a dairy factory called Meadowland, I think I want to say.
Okay.
And they already had stamping, and so they thought that, hey, if we put a date stamp, this might help to like, drive sales.
Yeah.
So that's the, like, most that I could find about it. It's, like, super urban legend, but I love to say that whenever I tell someone that I work in date codes, I just throw out that story because it makes me sound super cool.
Oh, no, no, I agree with you because, normally when I had a guy once at a Chamber of Commerce luncheon years ago, I told him I was in the business of selling printers or marketing printers for date codes, and he looked at me and he said, "That is the most boring thing I've ever heard. You should never tell anybody that."
That's really mean to say. I know,
that was the guy was really... I didn't talk to him for the rest of that match. Also, it is like, I hate that question. What do you do? And I'm like, all right, do you know what expiration dates are? And then you got to like back it out from there. So, obviously, not to bash on date codes. I mean, obviously, they help pay the lights bills around here and some of our salaries. But they are necessary. It's just a matter of the fact that there's no standardization around them. That's the issue. So talk a little bit about one of my favorite things. You know, it starts with the FDA, right? Like, when did we even have the first hint of regulation around food, which is the origin of the FDA? And some of you out there may have heard of Upton Sinclair's book, The Jungle. I was refreshing my memory on it because I remember this from college years ago, where they inspired President Teddy Roosevelt to take action because of just the horrible conditions of the meat, in particular the meat packing industry. It was just absolutely foul and disgusting that's what led to the creation of the Food and Drug Purity Act that led to the FDA.
Yeah, because people were dying like left and right from spoiled meat and all that fun stuff. So.
Yeah, it absolutely ridiculously disgusting stuff. But one thing, what I thought was interesting, I forgot about this or didn't know this, that Upton Sinclair, when he's a devout socialist at the time in early 1900s, this is when socialism and communism was really kind of the latest trend and so popular, so to speak. But he actually wrote the book not to expose the meatpacking industry, like the meat part of it. He was trying to expose the poor wages and the how poor labor was treated. That was his intent behind the book.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
And then when it finally got released, the only thing people noticed was his vivid descriptions of like the meat and everything. So he was such a good author and so good at describe that he ended up describing the thing so good that it wasn't even his intent with the book. I thought that was kind of ironic.
That's crazy.
But anyway, from there, like you said, so you know, ultimately, like everything that I looked up, it's never really been about quality. It's never really been about, in the past, about purity of food. It's one thing, a lot of it, it's about rotating stock and inventory levels between retailers and manufacturers.
Yeah, because you were telling me a story before we started. It was like back in the 60s that retailers and manufacturers did put codes on their stuff. But it was like secret somehow. So, do you want to like refresh me on that?
What I found is basically that the manufacturers would create sell by dates or codes. That's where it comes from. That they would put, but only the manufacturers and the retailers and distributors knew what they meant, so they could rotate their stock. And it was ultimately for manufacturers that they wanted to make sure that it all had to do with sales. And then the one funny thing I came across was this story about these housewives in the late 60s or 70s that started trying to crack the code. So they cracked the code by studying the stocking levels or whatever on products. And then once they determined that a product was actually past its sell-by date, which is what it is, it says sell-by. There's no science behind it. It's just a little sell-by this point because we're sending you more stuff. It's not like about... Anyway... They cracked the code and they started sabotaging the food that was past its sell-by date so the stores couldn't sell them. And it ultimately led to them they started selling a mail order, like magazine of codes that they'd broken, and they would sell them to people so that they wouldn't buy stuff that was past its sell-by date. So much so, they had such an impact that finally manufacturers broke down and they just started labeling them with easy to read and understand dates. Gee, imagine that.
Yeah, it's one of the rare times where like it helps the consumer, but it also helps the business as far as like stock and all that. So it's a pretty bizarre like spot to be in.
See, I'm glad that they did what they did, because when I was looking into day codes or the history of day codes, I had seen some of the older codes that they would use, and it'd be like a letter. So they would use the letter for like the location that that merchandise was coming from, and then they'd have like a series of like three or four numbers that would then give off like the year, the month, and the day. But obviously, if you're not in the industry and if you don't really know what you're looking at, then how do you know exactly if what you're yeah. buying is safe to consume? So honestly, thanks to those women for cracking the code.
It kind of reminds me, which is something that we will talk about later on, is like the history of like barcodes and like UAP, ASCII codes. Like all those numbers, like they mean a very specific thing. And so it mm-hmm. sounds like it was a lot like that, where it's just they knew what to look for, but the common person didn't.
Exactly.
So it's just right. this weird game.
And that's ultimately, like, one of the problems behind it, right, and this is kind of some of the stuff I was looking up, is that it ultimately leads to a lot of food waste. Because you do have people that are very cognizant and very minded about expiration dates and sell-by dates, and I just am reminded of another anecdote about my mom, and I'll get to it. It's because you have people like my ex-wife and others that are like, oh, it's past the sell-by date, I'm throwing it away. Or maybe there's half a jar of jelly in there, or it's half full or whatever. I'm throwing it away because I'm worried about purity or health or whatever. And it leads, I mean, multiple estimates ranging from 10% to 40% of food waste that is attributed to, you know, misconception around sell-by dates and use-by dates. Perfectly good food that's being thrown away because people think that it's gone bad. Which reminds me of what my mom I used to think my mom was a nut job.
Okay.
Because, like, with medicine, you get a prescription or whatever, even your Tylenol and your ibuprofen, there's expiration dates on this stuff. It's usually pretty long, like 2 years or yeah. whatever. Mm-hmm. My mom would always say, that's a scam. They just do that so that you can buy more when they expire. And that's literally, like, I'm sitting here. Misconception that manufacturers were more than happy to accept since it meant more sales. All this time, my nut job mom was right about it, you know, like.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's like very much that the government will say is baby formula. That's the only thing that super strict on.
Well, that's the one thing that we actually have standardization on is baby food formula. And I think ultimately, like, that's the big thing, is we just have some standardization around things.
Yeah.
So we knew that what things meant. And you have this cross, like sometimes it says sell by, it says use by, it says best by. What do these things mean? You know.
See, growing up, I always thought it was just the same thing, just different terminology for it. I was like, okay, sell by,
tomato,
best
tomato.
Buy. Yeah, I was same thing.
Yeah, I thought that, and then I started to work here, and I still kind of thought it. And then like we have research, and it's like they're actually quite different.
Yeah, no, in one of our Q&A episodes, we had talked about the difference between like sell by and best buy, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah, just because the sell by day. Is now passed. So sell-by dates are more so for like the retailers when that stock has to be, or when that product has to be off of their shelves. Whereas best-by date is like the peak of that product's like
peak flavor, of, like, peak quality. Peak, quote unquote.
I mean, and I'll say personally, like, I'm much more worried about those dates if it's meat, especially like chicken. Like, if it's past a date and and I haven't frozen it, mm-hmm. I'm probably chunking it. And I know that's bad, but I just like with that stuff, I don't. Like that scares me. But with something like peanut butter,
or like dry goods, processed
dry goods, yeah, like
they
I don't
put
care,
so much
honestly.
Preservatives in those.
Yeah,
things,
it's like know? For me, like I don't really care too much.
And with anything else, like produce or like, you know, we talked about milk already. Like, it's pretty obvious when it's bad. You don't I don't need a date to tell me when my tomatoes are bad. I can tell when my tomatoes are bad.
Exactly.
You know. That being said, kind of one thing I did see that it was kind of, I mean, but I guess it's been going on and on for 50 years now that they've tried and tried and tried. So last year there was a bipartisan effort led by two Democrats and a Republican for the Food Date Labeling Act. And they're going to try to establish two standard labels that the best if used by was only going to be for quality and used by had to be for discard or actual expiration. And it would end or eliminate or prohibit the use of sell by. As a phrase,
because it's just because
it's only for stocking purposes. Yep.
Yeah.
And naturally, the food industry
not happy
is not keen on this legislation. So,
because I mean, isn't it something that like it's kind of working on its own right now? Because like, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it Walmart? You said like they set a lot of the
standards. Walmart definitely, and that's where it comes down to, you know, talking to our customers, our manufacturers out there that are dealing with this. is that it is, yeah, it comes from their distribution networks. It comes from their supply chain. Walmart requires it. We're going to talk, probably that's going to come up a lot during our episode on barcodes, because they have very strict barcode requirements. And yeah, so certainly in some regards, yes, they definitely are able to, you know, there's a lot of self-regulation, if you will, and it is, it's not like we're just hundreds and thousands of people are dying because they're eating rotten food or anything like that. So when you're talking about, but you are, I mean, food waste is a significant thing when you think about, you know, there's a lot of people in the world that you know, could probably do well to have some of that wasted food. So that's just something that doesn't always drive motivation and the needle.
I think it's too, because you said it's like, what, 30%? It's like you think of that. It's like, oh, well, it's only 30%. It's like, well, think of how much food is sold every day. Mm-hmm. That is so much waste. It's a, frankly, obscene amount of waste.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's not just the waste. I know that on one of our episodes of, like, Industry Update, it's the 30% that's ending up in, like, landfills, which then become, like, greenhouse gas.
Yeah.
So you also have to think about that consequence later down the line.
No, absolutely. Here's an interesting little tidbit for you. We talk about all this back and forth. So like I said, it's for decades that the government and the FDA have tried to implement, you know, standardization around date coding and whatnot. And it just never has gone through. Well, Europe managed to figure it out in 1979.
Just a little bit ahead of the
curve. That's 55 years ago, I think. No, 45 years ago.
No, 55. Almost.
45.
I'm 45. Not a math major.
Anyway, yeah. 45 years ago, but we still don't have anything in the U.S. So, well, we got baby formula, so there's that. So, what does all this mean? I mean, just kind of ultimately, this is a little history for everybody out there that are dealing with date codes and why do I have to deal with this nonsense? Well, it's a lot of it comes down to your supply chain and your distributors and your retailers that want to have it so they can regulate their stock. And yeah, ultimately, there's not a lot of actual state requirements for it or anything like that, but we see it time and time again. I've talked to customers, and you guys have talked to them sometimes, and the sales teams talk to customers. They're going from a farmer's market to a grocery store, and now all of a sudden they got to start dealing with, how do I figure out these different date codes and why am I having to deal with all this nonsense? And we'll get into, in another episode, we'll have a follow-up episode, we'll talk about some of the different technologies you can use for date coding. There's a lot out there, so what is, how to choose one, what makes sense for different applications or your processes and everything else. Go ahead, Quentin. I feel like you've been trying to...
Oh, no, you're good. No, I mean, I just, like, I mean, I, like, I feel like in defense of date codes, I would much prefer them be around.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's just, it's just, you know, there's room for improvement.
Yes.
We're not saying that they shouldn't exist, of course. They definitely need to be there, but it needs to be more science-based, and it needs to be more about, it needs to be more about consumer protection and eliminating or reducing food waste than it is about, you know, maybe profits and other things that sometimes interfere with people's motives.
Sure.
I just feel like what's a little bit frustrating is, like, unless you're in the industry and unless you're surrounded by the terminology, it's like you see the phrase, like, best buy, sell buy, and you automatically just assume that, okay, as soon as it hits that day, like, it's gone. It's gotta go. But now that we're in this industry, it's like, no, it's not necessarily that. It's just...
I particularly do like it, though, at HEB, when stuff is close to the sell-by date, because then usually they'll sell it for 25% off.
Yeah, it's great.
You get some good deals on some steaks and pork chops that way. Just...
No, yeah, I think our colleague Matthew Ward, who is in our tech team, he was telling me about how he just got a crazy deal on, like, New York strip steaks, and it was because they were close to the, you know, like, Best Buy date.
Yeah.
And he got, like, crazy amount of, like, New York strips for very good money, you know, it's crazy.
There you go. So, yeah, we'll get into technologies and how and what how you can implement your date codes and things like that on a follow-up episode. We got more great content coming for you guys. We're going to have an episode about barcodes with our head of technical services, Charles, who's been dealing with barcodes for the last 15 years of his professional career. We'll talk kind of same thing, some history and whatnot. Yeah, a couple of great episodes here. A lot more of this to come for you folks. Product tastings. Hopefully we get some anybody listening out there that'd be interested in being on the podcast, an entrepreneur or a customer out there. Share us your story, what you've been through and everything else, from packaging to just growing your business. We love to hear it, and we can share with the more knowledge we can share with each other, the, you know, we can all help each other out. So, Alexa, you got the
outro. Like always, guys, thanks for staying in tune on this episode, and make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. We'll see you on the next one. Bye, everyone.